chapter 41, verse number 10. If you get a piece of paper handed to you, I send these around. They're actually for the kids, but the adults seem to like them too. We're going to put some stuff up on the board here, and you're follow along with us and fill in the blanks if you like. If you hang with us long enough, at the end of the quarter, I buy pizza for everyone who finished the papers. So all the kids just want to get some pizza, so they follow along. On the back, there's a little crossword or a word search. Excuse me. Hallelujah. I do understand that I get a little windy sometimes. If you get bored, feel free to flip the paper over and do the word search. Hallelujah to God. We're going to talk today about the power of God, and the title I've chosen is God's Weapons of Mass Destruction. Hallelujah. We're not going to get into a discussion about weapons of mass destruction, but we are going to talk about God and His way of doing warfare. Amen? Our subtitle is God's Power for Daily Living. I don't know about y'all, but every day I live is a challenge, some more challenging than others. And it does me no good to leave my God in church on Sunday morning and try to live the rest of the week by myself. I happen to need, now maybe I'm more needy than you are, but I happen to need strength and power and intervention every single day. Amen? Amen. I heard an amen back there, so I'll preach to that. Hallelujah. We have to understand that there are things that are so challenging in our life, we need somebody or something with enough power to get us through. Can someone say amen? Isaiah 41, New King James Version says, "So do not fear, I'm with you." Now this is a prophetic utterance from God. Now, I don't know about you, it's good when my friends come up and pat me on the back and say, "It's okay, George, I got your back, I'm with you." But I am oh so thrilled when God says, "Do not fear, because I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Glory to God. I want to make a statement here and work upon it that God is a God of power. I want to try that again. I got one amen. We got to get some life here. God is a God of power. God is not useless. God is not weak. God is not dead. He's very much alive and very active. I turn that off, honey, because it's making noise, okay? The Amplified Version of what we just read says, "Fear not, there's nothing to fear." Now, we look at things around us and say, "Oh, this is terrible." But we got to look at things through God's eyes. When God looks at your situation, there's nothing to fear. There's no cancer too big, no sickness too big, no financial difficulty, no family difficulty. There's nothing too big for God. So God looks at it and says, "I'm not afraid of it. Join up with me and you won't have to be afraid of it either. For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God." I am so glad that 32 years ago Jesus intervened in my life. I became a Christian and I can claim that scripture today. God is on my side. Hallelujah. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. I want to challenge anybody who's ever done any Bible reading to stop and think about the stories you've read, just how God has flexed his muscles and shown his power to the world around him. Can someone say amen? If you've never read that, I want to challenge you to start. I understand there's a new Bible bookstore open in town, and we need to go visit it. Hey, Sister Sharon. Hallelujah. If you're listening to this on the internet, it's called Footprints. Go on down there and spend a whole bunch of money. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. God says we're not supposed to be afraid. Another translation. "For I'm with you." Don't be discouraged. I picked that for a reason. One of the things I think that Christian people in particular have to deal with is a thing called discouragement. You don't have to raise your hand on this. I'll simply tell a story about myself. When God is evident and things are well and all is well with my soul, as the hymn says, we walk around with a big old smile on our face. Oh, hallelujah. It's easy to get a praise the Lord from our lips. But just let something happen. Let the bank call and say you're overdrawn. Let the doctor call and say you got a disease. Let your children act up. Of course, we know that never happens. That doesn't have anybody here. I'm just telling you in case you know somebody who has that situation. God says, don't be discouraged. This is a promise I need to hang on to a lot, because I tell you, I get discouraged. You know, when things don't go the way I think they should go, Hello. Yeah, and God doesn't do what I tell him to do? Hello. We think prayer, I'm going to talk about prayer in a moment. We sometimes think prayer is telling God what to do. Please don't raise your hands who's ever done that. Hallelujah. You know, I want to talk a little bit here about the power of God. I heard a man talk recently about something he read written by George Barna, who's a Christian pollster. And he said that most people, I forget the exact number right now, but most people in America that he had polled pray. So, wow, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Until you get the second question. The second question was, how many people believe that there's going to be an answer to prayer? Of all those who said yes, only 24% said, I believe there's going to be an answer. Now, I got to tell you, that I just can't let that go. There are some things I hear, and I let them go. I can't let that go. If only 24% believe there's going to be an answer, why is the other 76% praying? If you're praying and you don't believe there's going to be an answer, why bother? And the second thing that poses in my mind, if whatever you're praying to cannot answer your prayer, again, why are you asking for its help? We have to know that who we're talking to has got the power and willingness to inject that power into our lives and change what needs to be changed. Does anybody need a change in their life from here and there? From time to time. It may not be today. It may be tomorrow morning. Or it may not be till next month. But there will come a time, no matter what you tell me that your belief system is, where you're going to have to cry out to something higher, greater, and more powerful than yourself. You can say amen or oh my. That's up to you. I had a friend I used to hang with before I became a Christian. And when I became a Christian, this man just did everything he could to talk me out of believing in God. He was what I would have to call an evangelical atheist. He didn't believe in God, didn't want nobody else to either. And he did everything he could to talk me out of it. Obviously, it didn't work. But I remember one time we were having one of our heated discussions. We never argued about anything. We were good friends. But we had some very heated discussions. At one time, he finally looked at me and said, you know, George, I do admit, there was a time a few months ago I got in some trouble and I cried out to God. And I asked him a question because I was trying to carry on the debate. Why? Here was his answer. Just in case. Well, you know what? I think a lot of Christians have the same philosophy. We really don't believe God's going to answer our prayer, but we pray just in case. Hallelujah. I want to maybe challenge you a little bit today to understand that God is not only a prayer answering God, but he has the resources to answer your prayer. Amen? When God comes to the situation, when God moves into your situation, he brings with him everything that's needed to change, fix, or circumvent whatever it has to do, that situation. Amen? God doesn't come with empty pockets saying, I'm here for you, I don't know what I'm going to do. If you're needing a healing, God comes with a healing for your disease. If you're having problems with your family, God's coming with an answer. Hallelujah. We need to understand today that God has got the power to change, to use anything that comes in our lives to his advantage. So I'm not going to preach it today. I don't have time. But you know I believe that there's a divine destiny for us. The Bible tells us there's a plan. Amen? And whatever it takes to get me from where I am today to the end of that plan, God's got the power to do it. Amen? But we as Christians, we don't really believe God's going to do anything. I wonder sometimes, actually I don't wonder, why so many people don't get their prayers answered. When we have prayer lines there, we didn't have one this morning, we have prayer lines there, and people come up and they get healings. But not everybody. And I know there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons, I think when people come up here, they really don't expect to walk away with anything. Every time I've ever come to a prayer meeting or a prayer line in the last 30 some odd years, I've always expected to get something from God. And I've never, ever walked away disappointed. Amen. The thing I want to say about God here today, in this portion, God has weapons that we would never think he would use. See, I mentioned before that we tend to tell God what to do. That's because our finite mind says, well, it can only be done a certain way. And when we take our prayer to God, we got in our mind that God is no smarter than we are. If God's not smarter than I am, then we're in a world of trouble. God has weapons and powers and authorities that you and I would never dream of. We say, well, he's got to do it this way. We got some nice religious answer of how God is supposed to do stuff. And he comes around as a totally different, and while he's doing it totally different, we're totally unsettled. And we say, oh my God, what's he doing? Has God lost his mind? Oh, come on. You won't admit it, but y'all said that from time to time. And if you haven't said it, I know you thought it. Amen. And God is doing something, and he's not doing it the way we told him to, or the way we learned it from church, or the way we read it in a book. Hello, church. I'm talking to religious people now. We got it all figured. We read Brother So-and-so's book, so it's got to be that way every single time. Well, I'm glad that worked for Brother So-and-so. But just because God comes through in a certain way in your life doesn't mean you're supposed to write a book about it. And then demand that everyone else use your formula. God can use anything he wants to. God controls everything. Hallelujah. There's nothing that's not under the power and authority of God. And God can use it to do whatever he wants. Glory unto God. A few years ago, flying home from the Eastern Europe, we had to go up to Germany. So there was a little thing standing between us and Germany called the Alps. And I couldn't help it. I just had to stare. I probably looked like a kid in a candy shop. My nose pressed against the window going, whoa. It was just so cool. Now, I'm sure there are other people on that flight looking at the same mountains going, huh, what a geological spectacle that is. I was not caring that. First of all, I'm going to tell you now, I don't believe the mountains are there because the earth shrunk and cooled and all that. I believe they're there because God put them there. And I couldn't help but glory in the handiwork of God who had the ability and the authority to build the Alps. I think that was just plain wonderful. Amen? A few years later, I was sitting in a boat, standing in a boat. I don't know why I do such things. It's not natural to fly. It's not natural for me to be in a boat. But of all places, Brother Dave, I found myself at the foot of the Niagara River, the foot of Niagara Falls. And we stood there. Anybody ever take that little Maid of the Mist tour? Take the time, take the money. It's awesome. But I stood there. Boats aren't supposed to be moving the way this one was moving. I mean, the power of that water rushing down shook me from my soles up. And I got a bit of just a small glimpse of the power of what God has at his disposal. See, we look at these things as natural phenomenon. God's in charge of that. Many years ago when I first became a Christian, I had to drive someone someplace, job related. And I remember standing in a room, big glass enclosure, staring out at the Atlantic Ocean. It was in Far Rockaway, if I remember correctly. But I was amazed because I stood there watching the ocean come roaring in. It would go just so far and go back again. And I stood there, and the reason I was so amazed by this, that morning, before I had left to go to work, I spent some time with the Bible, and I had read where the writer says, "For the Lord has put the seas in their boundaries." And I stood there with the knowledge. The reason the Atlantic Ocean would only go just so far, because in the beginning, when God separated the waters from the seas, he said, that's your boundary and you can't go no further. See, I happen to believe that God's hand is in all of that. I was sharing with somebody this morning when I was a very young man. I was not a Christian. I had some religion on me, but I wasn't a Christian. And the bride of my youth was stricken with a thing called leukemia and eventually died of it. And I went back to the church of my childhood looking for answers. Now, I'm not here to condemn them. I'm just reporting the facts. And that grand old guy with the robe on, he meant well. I know he did. But he tried to explain to me that the God of the Bible that I was referring to, I was looking and said, well, Jesus helped cleanse that, the lepers. He said, can't we pray for my wife? He said, well, we can pray for her. But see, God doesn't do that anymore. And I made a very stupid decision that day. And my decision was, if God can't do anything, he doesn't need me to follow him. And I went into a lot of years of drug addiction and so forth. But I came to know that that was a wrong assumption that was told to me. I've come to understand and know that God is a God of real power. I have watched God heal cancers. I've seen God fix people's families. God can do all things. And again, he does it sometimes with things we wouldn't expect. We're going to look in a couple of minutes here at the book of Exodus. At a man who made a big mistake. His title was Pharaoh, and his mistake was, I'm not going to listen to these people. I'm not going to listen to God. I am Pharaoh. I am smart. I am rich. I am powerful, and I'm not bowing my knee to any god. Besides, I got all kinds of gods around here. Who cares about one more? But the Bible says that God made a promise to Moses, to the people of Israel, and to the world. He said, I will show Pharaoh and the world who I am. Hallelujah. God will definitely show the world who he is. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know exactly what Moses was expecting. I don't know what Pharaoh was expecting. But what they got was blood. Nile River turned to blood. I don't know about y'all. I've never seen the Nile River. I've seen some pretty big waterways. I've seen the Mississippi and a few others. I just can't imagine that all turning to blood. And the Bible said they moved away from the river and dug like you're going to dig a well, and blood came out of that too. God did something that never had been done before. And when Pharaoh hardened his heart, next thing God did was call forth the frogs. Hallelujah. Now, I hear people talk, well, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Do you understand that God knows every language in the world? And a few others that you and I wouldn't recognize? Because somehow he spoke to the frogs. And the frogs knew who he was and obeyed him and came up out of the ponds, out of the rivers, and went all through Egypt. Can you imagine that? And one thing that was going on through here, see, Pharaoh had his false prophets. I'm sorry, the Bible calls them magicians. He had these false preachers and false magicians who were replicating everything that God was doing. But there was a problem. I come across this as I kept reading. I said, the magicians were doing the same thing. What's the deal here? And the more I read it, it dawned on me. The magicians, whatever power, we'll talk about that in a while, they couldn't undo it. Only the God who sent the frogs could take the frogs away. Only the God who sent the blood to the water could take the blood away. See, God has got authority over the Nile River. He had authority over the frogs. And when his heart was hardened again, then he called forth lice. Now, I don't know about y'all. I had lice on my body one time. It was about 40 years ago, and it was a memorable occasion. Can you imagine your entire country, everybody in your house covered with lice? Oh, you had the itching and going on there. And still, Pharaoh wouldn't turn his heart back to God. I also notice here, this was the last time. I think this is important. This was the last time the magicians could duplicate the plagues. You know, there is some false power out there. I will say that. But there is no power that can line itself up and compare itself to the power of God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. Flies. Did you ever have a fly crawling on you? I don't know about y'all, but there's nothing much more irritating in this life than having a fly on me. And maybe it's good. No, I won't say that. Can you imagine your entire countryside, your home, inside, outside, bathroom, living room, everything covered with flies? But something interesting happened at that point. God sent forth the flies, but there was no flies on the Jews. Because in the land of Goshen, where the Jews were living, there wasn't a single fly. See, God knows how to take care of his children. He knows how to bring forth judgment and maintain safety for his children at the same time. After that, the cattle died, boils, pestilence, diseases, hail with fire. Y'all guys had a storm here. We all had a storm the other day. I didn't see no fire coming down with all that rain yesterday. Hallelujah. Locusts, darkness. God used powers that you and I would never think of. God used the darkness. God used insects. God used everything imaginable because his people had cried out for help. Now, I want to look at that just a little bit, because for many of us, our sense of power is found in money. Okay? You got enough money, got enough power. But it doesn't end there. For others, power is found in charm or influence over other people. For others, it's found in beauty or sex appeal or intellect or success. We find power in many different places except the place we should be looking. When we move into our scripture story today, I want you to keep in mind and take note that Pharaoh had great wealth, had incredible influence, had great power, but he could not fight against the things of God. See, I don't know about y'all, but when I read these stories, I'm glad for something. I'm glad that God's not mad at me. I'm glad that when God decides to fight, we sing a song here, we haven't sang in a while, called Mighty Warrior. God is a mighty warrior. I am so glad he's not turning that wrath against me. I'm glad that I'm born again. I'm glad that I'm saved and forgiven. Glory to Jesus. I want to challenge us today When I talk to Christian people, they say, I'd never do that. I want to challenge your desire to invest in false gods in order to gain power and significance. We are always offered, let's make a deal with the devil type stuff. If you'll just do this, I'll make you more popular. If you just do this, I'll make you more successful. If you just do this, you'll have more money. And sometimes the desire to have that in another way other than get it from God can be overwhelming. But again, Pharaoh's wealth and his influence and his appeal were worthless when he entered into a contest with God. You see, whatever's coming against you, you can call it the devil, you can call it the world, you can call it the flesh, maybe all three. Whatever is coming against you is contesting God. And I'll tell you right now, anything or anybody that contests God is an automatic loser. God will call upon nature. He'll call upon the supernatural. He'll call upon anything necessary for you. See, when I say that, y'all went quiet. Now, here's what happens with Christianity. We say, yeah, go God. He did it for the Israelites. Yeah, go God. He did it in the New Testament. Go God. You did it back in the revivals of the 1900s. But when it comes for our own situations, our own problems, many times we don't call on God. Or we don't believe he's going to answer. Or we don't believe he can answer. Hallelujah. I'm hoping that before we leave here today, I can challenge you to put your confidence in God Almighty, the God of the Bible, and trust in the creator of the universe. Our scripture story today, I'm not going to read it, obviously, because it's so long. It's found in Exodus chapter 7 through 10. I want you to really go home and read this. This is the story of Moses and Aaron going back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardens his heart. All the plagues of Egypt. This is a powerful time. But, you know, when I read that, my mind just can't accept everything sometimes. You know, I've had people in my past tell me that Christianity is only for morons and those who are uneducated. I don't consider myself either one of those. So every once in a while, I read something and I say, that doesn't make sense. I got to look a little deeper. Is it okay to go a little deeper today? It raises questions and maybe some difficulties as we read it, okay? I want to show you three to four, maybe four different questions that I came up with. One of the things I look at when I read the Bible in this book of Exodus, how did these magicians duplicate the miracles? Anybody here know about the word counterfeit? The gods, small g, that these guys served, they weren't real, but rather the magicians drew their power from someplace else. And I'm going to suggest to you that some of it, or at least much of it, came straight from Satan, the occult. Now, people say, I don't believe in that. That's okay. You don't have to believe in it. You've heard me say this before, but you know, I came from a culture where one of the drugs of choice that we had back in my day was LSD. And when people take LSD, sometimes they choose not to believe some things. And I knew people that chose to not believe in gravity. We buried them when they tried to fly. See, some things, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's just there. Amen? I heard a story, it's a fable, about three demons, fallen angels, who have gone through training. I told you it's a fable. But they're all done, they get to the last part of their fable, which is being sent to Earth to try out what they've learned. And they're being walked from the inner parts of hell up to the gates by Satan. And as they're walking, they're feeling their oats, and they decide they want to show off for the devil. They're going to show them what they're going to do when they get to planet Earth. And the one looks around and says, well, when I get there, I'm going to convince them there is no God and there is no devil. The devil looks at him and says, well, boy, that ain't going to work. Our research department has kept some records. And we find out the only people that won't believe in God or won't believe in me are fools and stupid people. So you may fool a few of them, but that's not going to work very good. Now they keep walking, and the second one looks at him and says, well, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get to Earth, and I'm going to convince people there is no heaven and there is no hell. And the devil kind of shook his head and said, well, you know, again, we've got science, we've got research here that says that people don't believe in that because they know that we're worth more than just one lifetime, and almost everyone feels that we're created for something better. So they're walking a little further and find the third one. He's got this little evil look in his eye and his face says, I know. I'm not going to tell them there is no God, and I'm not going to tell them there is no heaven. I'm going to tell them there is no hurry. You see, many times as Christians, we say we believe in God, we say we believe in afterlife, but we don't believe we have to do anything about it right now. I want to challenge you today, how much longer does your child have to be addicted to drugs before you grab a hold of God and say, God, we need to go to war against this thing? How much longer does your marriage have to fall apart before someone says, God, fix my marriage, and allow God and invoke God to come with his weapons of mass destruction to do what needs to be done to save that boy, to save that girl, to save that marriage? I am perplexed in the Christian realm why we let these things go so long before we go to warfare, before we cry out to the God that can change us, can save us, can heal us, can fix us. Y'all quiet on me today. I must be missing the mark. I must be preaching the wrong message. Obviously, y'all out there don't have no problems. You don't have no backsliding children. You don't have any marital problems. You don't have any financial problems. Because if you do, y'all be considering what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Most of these miracles were copied through trickery, but some of them came from satanic powers. In Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, these magicians begin to get baffled. They couldn't understand what was going on, okay? And once they got to the boils, they gave up. Pharaoh's magician tried to do the same thing. Now we're talking about the plagues of God, the flies, and the gnats or flies covered everyone. People, animals. This is the finger of God. Now there comes a time. Hallelujah, when the staunchest of atheists have got to say, you know what, that's got to be God. Glory to Jesus. Like my friend who cried, by the way, my friend cried out. I asked him, if you don't believe in God, why'd you cry out? He said, because I was stoned and afraid of getting caught. Yeah. Not that anyone has ever prayed that kind of prayer. I can remember, I'll tell a tale of myself, of being so intoxicated. For you that don't know what that word means, I was drunk. So drunk. I couldn't find my way home, didn't know where he was, and I cried out to God and asked, oh, if you'll only get me home, I'll go to church every Sunday. We'll talk more about that later. Hallelujah. This is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart remained hard. Now, why did Pharaoh keep changing his mind? Why was it he kept breaking his word? Now, you would think people would learn after a while, wouldn't you? You would think people would learn. Pharaoh was not unlike many of us today. It leads me to what I was just saying. God, if you get me out of this, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Pharaoh did the same thing. God, if your God will take away the blood, if your God will take away this dead fish, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just as soon as he got his way, no more promise. I'm telling you, I prayed that prayer a lot of times, but I didn't go to church. I did not give my heart to Jesus until many years later. But I kept making him promises. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if you're making promises to God, you got to keep them, okay? When the pressure was off, Pharaoh refused to do what he said he was going to do. Not only would Pharaoh lose his slaves, but such an act would actually cause him to look weak in the eyes of his enemy. So pride took over, self-preservation took over, and he would not follow through. Hallelujah. I always wondered, my third question is, why God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Now, maybe your relationship with God is not good enough that you would do this, but I ask God questions about stuff like this. Say, God, why was it fair for you to do that? But as I read, I found something as I read over these scriptures and checked a few things out in the last few days. Hallelujah. God's sovereignty, by the way, goes a long ways. God will give us free will. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. We choose whether we're going to live a certain way, and we choose if we're going to believe a certain way. But something was happening here. I want you to know that it wasn't until the plague of boils that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. See, up to that point, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So here's my question to God, and I'll pose it to you. Maybe we can figure it out together. Hallelujah. Is it possible that we knew that Pharaoh, or God knew that Pharaoh was predetermined to do these things, and finally turned him over to his own wants. See, the book of Romans says that God turns certain people over to the lust of their own flesh. Is it possible there comes a time where God says, you want to live with that long enough, you can keep living with that, I'm out of here. Pharaoh kept saying no, no, no of his own volition, and finally God said, there's not going to be a chance. Now I'm hardening your heart. Now, I don't know how this works, but I'm going to suggest something to you today. That sometimes we can live with a problem so long that we no longer are asking God's help and God's not intervening anymore. If we want to be a liar, hello, let's just talk about sin here. After a while, God will go raise his hand and say, fine, go ahead and lie, but you're going to have the consequences of your lie. If you want to live in a way that's other than what God wants us to live, after a while, I truly believe, Sister Sharon, that God will say, fine, go at it. There's scripture to back this up, folks. Read the book of Romans chapters 1 and 2. And you will find out that God gave them over to their own lusts. I can't help but wonder if this is not the first time that happened that I can see. That Pharaoh was turned over to do what he wanted to do. Now, let me just say this. Linda will say the same thing. That people don't like this day. For every action, there's a consequence. People don't want to deal with consequences today. Come on. So some of y'all sitting here, you've raised children. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. You have raised children that do not know there are consequences for what they do. Okay, and I'll just leave it at that and let you all live with that. Consequences are for everyone. I wonder if we've learned to live with a hardened heart. God's been trying to tell us don't do this, don't do the other thing. Don't get involved with that. Please don't raise your hands, but how many times you just know that what you're about to do, the person you're about to have a relationship, whatever it is, you just know it's not going to come out good, but you do it anyway. Please don't raise your hands, because that's all of us. Hallelujah. I believe that God got to the point with Pharaoh, says, you know what, Pharaoh? You making choices. You're doing what you want to do, so now you can have the consequence of it. I always have people ask me, why does God allow bad things to happen? Why does God allow bad things to happen? Well, there's a couple things here. It's mentioned several places. It's in Exodus chapter 7. And God says, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. There are times God will allow things to happen for a season so he can glorify himself when he fixes it, when he changes it. You know, it's a wonderful thing as a parent to watch our children grow up and never make mistakes and do well. And that just happens with some of them. I think that was a parent that just laughed. I'm not sure. Hallelujah. But how much of a blessing is it when you've had a child go wayward, had a child do wrong, and then you see through your prayers, through your intercessions, the hand of God come upon that child, turn him or her around, and they turn their life back to being fruitful and righteous and holy. There's something about a redemption. You just can't help but get happy about it. Amen? Hallelujah. I have a son. My wife and I have a son who wouldn't speak to us for almost 15 years. He was mad at me. I'll be right up front. I won't tell you what he was mad about because I don't believe that's much main people's business. But he was mad at me. Wouldn't speak for 15 years. But God spoke through the prophet. Hallelujah. That God would turn all of my rebellious children back to us. And another prophet came along and challenged me, and we prayed together. Brother Bill Norton and I prayed. If you ever never prayed with a prophet, then you're in for a treat. Hallelujah. But we prayed, and that same week, we prayed on a Monday morning. On Wednesday morning, my phone rang, and my son came back. By the way, for those who don't know, that same son and his wife is about to give us our 17th grandchild. Hallelujah. God's just blessing us. Amen? God knew and the world knew that the Israelites had been treated poorly by the Egyptians. But when they cried out to God, I'm getting ready to land this thing now. When they cried out to God, God responded. I want you to please keep that in mind. I don't know where these people cried out for 400 years. I know they were in slavery for 400. But at some point, the Israelites, the Jews, cried out for help. God heard and raised up Moses. And after he raised up Moses, he brought together all the weapons of mass destruction he would need to use to bring Pharaoh to a place of humility. You know, whatever your problem is today, there is no sickness too big, no devil too strong, no habit too strong, that God cannot break it. Oh, come on. I want you to think about what you're dealing with right now. Some of y'all got children. You're not sure they're going to make it. But here's what you got to do for those children. Cry out. Let's not learn to live with it. Well, you know, Johnny's just, you know, he's. I hope there's no Johnny's in here. You know, whoever is never going to make it. Oh, no. Y'all got to open your mouth. See, the book of James says you have not because you ask not. God has got the power to bring little Johnny or Susie back. God has got the power to heal the cancer, in your body. Isn't that right, sister? God has got the power to do whatever is needed to bring you back from the brink of financial destruction, to putting your marriage back together. But we sit back in our pews on Sunday morning, we sing the songs and say hallelujah, and never once engage in warfare. God, I need your help. My son is on his way to hell. He's already in prison, and I want him back. Thank you. We need to look at our children. We need to look at our finances, look at our family, and say, you know what? I can't handle this thing. I'm talking to men in particular right now. You know, all of us fixers, we got to fix it all. There are some things you can't fix. There are sometimes you got to call a professional, and that goes for your plumbing and your family. My daddy was a great man. He had a lot of talents, but fixing things was not one of them. And I couldn't figure out when I was growing up, when my mother see my father coming with a wrench or a pair of pliers in her hands, she had an anxiety attack. I couldn't understand until I got old enough to understand that when he got done, the plumber always showed up. Because I think while he was on there cussing and fussing and banging and crashing, I think mom was on the phone, hello, plumber. He's at it again. I think our plumber used to like to get those phone calls. Matter of fact, when I got older and got married and left the house, I used to get phone calls on Saturday morning. I could tell you it was Saturday morning. My phone would ring about 7:30. And I would get this frantic call from my mother. My family called me Bobby. Don't you dare repeat that. Bobby, you better get up there. Your father's got a wrench again. And I would always ask him, which way is he walking? And if she said to the car, I made it even faster. Okay. Hallelujah. We need to tell ourselves and admit that we just can't fix everything. We need specialized help. God's got the help and the resources and the tools and the authority. See, when God looks at cocaine and says, cocaine, let that boy alone, cocaine's got to leave. Are you out there? Doctor told this lady here she had cancer. We prayed for her. Cancer's gone. See, when God moves in your body, when God moves in your life, when God moves in your mind, when God moves in your finances, something's got to change. Just the same as Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. I'm not letting go. But all while he was saying no, the Israelites were crying out. I don't know. Have you ever heard people from the Middle East pray? They're loud, they're long, and they don't stop until they get an answer. Maybe that's something we need to learn around here, huh, girls? Amen? Maybe we need to learn to pray until something happens. I hear people say, well, I prayed already. Well, have you got your answer yet? No? Then don't stop praying. It took 400 years. God is not slow. I don't know why it took 400 years. A smarter man than me may have to tell you that. All I know is that God heard the cries. He raised up a general, gave him weapons, said, now, let's go fight. All the time, he was about to show the world, not only Egypt, but the world, just who he was. Can someone say amen? I want to ask you, if there's a battle in your life, then only God can win. Now, as you're thinking about that, my second question is a little trick here. Have you told him about it? You see,
God knows everything.
Yeah, I know that. But we're also commanded through Scripture to bring all of our requests unto God with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. It's not that God don't know. God wants to talk to you a little bit. God wants to hear your voice. Dave and Becky, a lot of your family flew in for this whole graduation weekend. Wasn't it nice to see them and hear their voice? It's wonderful. God is a Father who wants to hear from us. Hallelujah. It was so cute when this one here looked at you when you were playing and called, hey, Pop-Pop, that's wonderful. I'm sure that just melted your heart. God sits in heaven. It's just my mind working now. I think God sits in heaven just whittling his thumbs if he has them. Waiting for the phone to ring. We ain't calling. Hello? Why isn't God talking to me? Well, if you talk to him. Anyway, in a not too distant article, a timing of an article in the New Scientist, there was an article by Jeff Heck, H-E-C-H-T, entitled Weapons of the Future. We live in a very precarious time when there's a lot of weapons out there that could wipe us out in no time. You know, no matter whatever happened 8 years ago with the weapons of mass destruction, there are still weapons of mass destruction in the world today. The United States owns most of them, I think. Hallelujah. But there are several weapons this man wrote about. He said one's called an autonomous weapon. The robotic vehicles under development which search and destroy many enemy troops and equipment on the ground or the air without risk to friendly troops, theoretically. Well, we've seen that happen in the Gulf War. We've seen that happen in Iraq. We've seen their smart bombs and so forth. Powerful things. There's all those things that he calls high-energy lasers. They're powerful energy beams that can travel through air or space in straight lines. They travel at the speed of light and can strike over distances of thousands of kilometers. You don't even have to get up close and personal with that kind of weapon. There are space-based weapons. I'm not going to read all of these. There's hypersonic aircraft. We've seen them called scramjets. The active denial system is a microwave system. Missiles, we're all aware of those. Stun guns and tasers. High-power microwave weapons, sometimes called E-bombs. Layered missile defense. Suppose that's what we have in place to keep us from being attacked. Then, of course, there's always information warfare. There's a lot of things in our world today that could be considered weapons of mass destruction. I'm not even talking about chemicals or biological. But with all of those things being present, all those things being true, and all the weapons becoming more high-tech and more lethal, the greatest weapon of all is still not a weapon that's been developed by man. The greatest weapon of all is a prayer to God Almighty and his answer. It's the word of God. When God answers, it's the most powerful weapon. There's not a bomb or a missile or a system that can destroy the devil. But God with a word can stop his work, can stop his victories in your life, can bring your children back, can stop disease in your body. God has got more power than all of the technology of all of the world. And yet we sit back and we don't ask. We sit back and we don't invoke that power in our lives. I don't get that. Everyone needs God's help and power to survive the difficulties of living on this planet. Now, unless you're less, well, maybe that little baby back there wouldn't get this, but everyone else here would understand, life can be difficult. It is challenging. Just getting from point A to point B from one day to the next can be very difficult. Can I get an amen from anybody? We need something and somebody much more powerful, much more intelligent, much more empathetic than we are. God knows what we're going through. He can identify it and destroy it because he's got the authority and he's got the power. I want you to turn to your neighbor for a minute and just say, God's got power. Just simple. Just say, God's got power. God's got power. Now ask him a question. Are you using it? Come on. Are you using God's power? Jesus empowers his followers and helps his friends. You see, we wonder why we talk about relationship versus religion. Well, here's the difference, okay? Religion, not going to help. I made this statement one time. I hope I don't get the same reaction when I make it this time. I made it in a prison once. And I said, you know, it really doesn't matter what God you serve. And I stopped there on purpose. And these guys, they were starting to, I didn't know I was going to get out of there. They were mad. But then I added my second sentence, until you need them. See, you can pray to whatever you pray to. You can go to any place you want to go. But until you need God to move for you, then you find out if your God has any power. Hello, church. If your God is money, if your God is sex appeal, if your God is popularity, is that really going to save you when the world's coming against you? Is it really going to save you when your life is falling apart? Hallelujah. I'm not sure sometimes why God allows wickedness to flourish. But I do know this. Whatever the wickedness is, God has the power to stop it and to help the innocent. Someone say amen? So, are you able to trust in God's timing? Can you wait for his power to come? That's difficult. Are you crying out to God? Let's bow our heads for a moment. Can I have our musicians back? Hallelujah to God. I am going to challenge you today. Can I change microphones? Okay. Is this okay? Okay. We are going to put God to the test. Right now, right here, today. Someone say amen. Amen. See, I know, some by personal knowledge, other by just because I know, that we're all facing situations in our lives. Some situations will take care of themselves in time. That's just the way life is. But many situations can only be fixed, can only be dealt with by the hand of a powerful, compassionate God. That's what I want you to think about right now. I want you to think about the thing that you can't fix. I want you to think about the thing that won't go away. And we're going to pray and ask God to give us the courage to wait for him to act. We're going to go together today in prayer. I'm going to say, okay, God, here's my problem. Some of you have got sickness. Some of you have got financial problems. Some of you got family problems. Some got all three or more. Hallelujah. Whatever it is today, I'm going to ask that we would lift it before God. Just ask the band to come back up. They're going to play some music for us out of background. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet as we get ready to close. For those in the congregation who are clock watchers, I'll let you know it is 2:58. I'm ahead of schedule. I've done all that I wanted to do. Now I'm going to see what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul wrote and said that we need to make all requests known unto God with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. We're going to join together. The Bible says if two or more agrees to touching anything, it will be done. And we're going to join together, even though we're not going to ask each other their prayer requests. We're going to join together praying one for another. You're going to raise up your prayer request, and as soon as you've raised it before God, you're going to pick someone else in the church, someone next to you to pray for. Because someone's going to be praying for your situation, you're going to be praying for someone else's. I believe wholeheartedly that God is just waiting. God is standing on the edge of eternity, just waiting to answer your prayer today. And we're going to ask God to release the supernatural. We're going to ask God to release and use weapons of mass destruction, to use weapons that you and I would never have figured out, our Brother Bob, to do things in a way that we're not expecting, but to do things that we cannot do ourselves. Don't raise your hands here. How many's got family that's backslidden? Don't raise your hands, please. How many has got incurable diseases or know those who do? How many have a marital situation that if God doesn't move, you're probably going to join the ranks of the divorce someday? You say, well, Christians don't divorce. Oh, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. How many's got monetary situations that if God doesn't come through, you're in trouble? That's all I'm going to say. We're going to ask God who released the flies, the frogs, the boils, the darkness, the fire mixed with hail. We're going to ask that same God to release his power in your situation today. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't believe that God can answer prayer, that's okay, because I'll believe for you. I'm dead serious here. God wants to do something here today. It's time for Christians to cry out and say, God, help! Did you know I just prayed the shortest prayer known to man that God will answer? Doesn't have to be fancy words. Doesn't have to be just a simple, help! Got your attention, didn't I, buddy? Quit fussing. Mama got a little help there already. Whatever it is, I want you to put it in your mind right now. I want you to lift it to God. I'm going to pray for it, count to three, pray for it. Then I want you to release it and start praying. You start praying for someone else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father in heaven, we are convinced of this very thing, that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly about whatever we can think or whatever we can ask. Whatever we have right now, Lord God, in our minds is not too big and not too difficult. Father, I lift it to you now. At the count of three, I want you to give it to God. Just lift it up to him. Say it in your mind and your thoughts. One, two, three. Tell God. Father, we lift this thing before you right now, and I pray that you release your power. Release your warring spirit. Release all the resources necessary to fix these problems. Father, we pray for the backslidden child. Bring them home. We pray for the rebellious ones. Heal the rebellion. We pray for the sick and ask you to heal. We pray for the bound and ask you for freedom. We pray, Father God, for families to be brought back together. We pray for marriages to be repaired. We pray for every one of our friends, our neighbors who need to be saved. We lift up these impossible situations. Lord, some of us need money. Some of us need, hallelujah, a financial miracle. Lord, all the needs right now I lift before you in Jesus' name. Now I want you to just look at somebody. Don't even tell them who it is. Just pray for somebody else. God's already heard the prayer for your thing. Now I want you to pray for somebody else, just anybody. You don't know what they want. Just, Lord, answer the prayer. Holy God, answer their prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Holy God. Holy God. We're almost done, fellas. Just hang in there. We're almost done. Let's just give God the respect that he can move, okay? Hallelujah. You can raise your hand if you don't know how to raise your hand or know what to do. Just look at someone next to you. Just do what they're doing. But you pray your words, oh God. Oh God. Father, in Jesus' name, I agree with every miracle prayer prayed here today. We agree that from this day on, we will see and hear of your intercession of people's lives. Father, as you release your mighty power, you release your weapons of mass destruction, you release your authority, your power, your glory. Father, we claim it now. Apply it to every need in this church, and we will come back with our testimony. We will come back and tell the world what you have done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.